Hello and welcome to Dieforia for MSI 2023. Got Dagda, we got Raz here. How's everyone doing? How you feeling?
Good, good. Like, happy to be joining you lads as well. Like, a little bit of a tiring run. Like, it's a bit late. Had a tough flight in, you know, an hour and a half. Had to be at the airport at 3 p.m.
Whoa!
It was a toughie, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys are a little bit more rested, though, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Had a really nice flight. Red eye, 11 hours. land, get to the hotel, shower, instantly do a podcast, you know.
Was it like an 11-hour flight or something
like
that?
Yeah, I didn't sleep on it, so, you know, I'm running on, like, I don't know, 36-ish hours, you
the
know.
The funniest thing, too, is that me, I get knocked out in a flight. Like, I will bring
Raz
stuff.
Raz is straight narcoleptic.
I will bring things and I'll be upset because I'll be like, oh, I brought a book or this time I had a Switch. Like, I also brought, like, I downloaded a few movies or shows. Better Call Saul. I watched 3 episodes, knocked out the rest of the flight. I just could not remember the rest of the flight. This guy.
Wait, were you sitting beside each other then?
He was in front of me. He was in the seat in front of me and he was gloating, I guess. He was gloating about the fact that his entire row is empty. And I had one guy at the far end. And then here comes, who came?
A family of 5. two little kids, probably like age 4, and then a baby.
Yep.
And 2 parents, and the parents sat next to me with the baby.
How are you alive still?
Well, I left. Fortunately, there was another seat next to this old woman who was very nice, and I sat next to her instead.
He tried to sit on my seat, but the problem was the dad. Or the seat right next to me, But the dad that was in the seat next to him had just went and taken a seat all the way back. So it was literally, he had no leg space if he even tried. So he just became an in-flight immigrant really quickly.
A refugee.
Yeah.
All right, let's go focus up though onto MSI. Before we get into the teams and stuff, this is a pretty big deal. It's the first time in Riot International tournament history, I believe, that we have double elimination happening. So how do you guys feel about the format overall for this year's MSI?
I really like it. I think it's super interesting to actually see, like, we guess teams that are at a similar level a lot more facing off against each other, rather than when you think about last MSI or even at Worlds, you just get one or two teams that are beat over and over again. It's not really fun to watch, and it doesn't feel like those teams are getting any kind of experience out of it either. So I think it'd be really cool to actually get these teams that are on even footing going head to head and seeing what they can learn from each other. But also then, obviously, you still got some of the top dogs in there, so you'll still get to see the really good teams and still get that experience. But I think it's just super exciting.
I just love that we get a bracket format and we get rid of best of ones. Thank God. Like, we finally did it. I was a doomer for a while. I was a non-believer the moment a change did come to MSI format, but it was just more best of ones. The Rumble stage was like, you guys completed the first best of ones stage.
Last year's MSI. Yeah.
Here comes another best of ones stage. I was like, please, I'm begging, get us out of here. I like watching fighting games tournament, you have loser's bracket. Watching like CSGO or Valorant tournaments, you have loser's bracket, and just generally a bracket stage format. So the fact that now we get to have that is amazing. Like, I love this format.
I am a best of one apologist for programming reasons. I think it's really cool when all your teams play on the first day and you get to see more matchups in direct head-to-head, but you do get dead games. And to that point, I think Riot was like ODing on best of ones. We have multiple best of one stages.
We heard your issues with the first best of round format. Here comes another.
I always like, you know, viewership is more averaged out because, you know, you have all the teams playing and you space. Like, there's programming reasons to like best of ones.
True.
I understand for fans other reasons. And I hope that the lower bracket gets put to good use and it's not just like they get 3-0'd in finals and you get like this really hype, you know, best of 5 finals. Because sometimes the, you know, like the 2 best teams are on the same side of the bracket and it's just like, oops, semifinals was the best match.
So it happened. I remember actually 2018 Worlds, it was like IG versus KT, and you're like,
quarters?
No! Please give him a loser's bracket. So at least we'll have something like this. I'm sure there's going to be potential for rematches in the loser's bracket later on when we actually get into stage 2. I mean, that'll happen, and I generally personally like that. So looking forward to it.
Cool. So since we're on this Dieforia, and I'm not sure if we're doing the second one or if it's going to be like rotating.
No, they saved the best for first.
Exactly.
Come out with a bang. It's all downhill from here, guys. So just like, comment, subscribe on this one. Ignore whoever's next.
Yeah, in fact, negative comments on the next one.
Downvote the second episode. But while we're here, let's just go all out for the first prediction that we're going to talk about. Who wins MSI right out the gate?
Go to your head.
I want to
give me your time.
Sorry! Calculus! I want to say JDG, because like obviously XLPL, I mean we both are.
Yeah.
But like Knight has always disappointed me at internationals. The fact that top esports didn't make it to playoffs at Worlds. Like, realistically, like,
yeah.
You're now looking at this guy going, oh yeah, JDG, they look excellent. Like, they're coming out champions from LP. But I don't know. I just find it real hard to get behind Knight on internationals.
Look, I think he got it all out. It's the same space, you're fine. We can get a nice chair for you to lay down and I can be your therapist. The funny thing, I feel like now that, you know, I've been in the LCS side of things, like, I'm a little bit far removed from it. Yeah. So now I can just say JDG. This is not, I don't have sweaty palms anymore when I say this. I'm not like deeply concerned, checking social media, being like, oh God, did they tweet anything this time? Is there any drama this time? Like, is there any bad noodles this time? But no, I think that I've always been really high on Knight as a player. I think a lot of people have been. Obviously, this, you know, when he comes out internationals, it doesn't turn out as great as it has been. But like, I think he will have a great performance and we're just waiting for it. He's due for it. And also the team is just a little bit too broken. If they had a commissioner in the LPL and a League of Legends,
they would have blocked a trade.
Blocked that trade. Ooh, Ruler? I don't know about that.
That's what I was going to say. Is even if Knight goes Mom Spaghetti again, you have Ruler instead of Hope now. It's a bit of an upgrade, you might say. Maybe a little small one right there.
Just a colossal one. You have 369. You have Ruler. You have Knight. Your soul lanes are set. And just in case, if the... Exactly. Just in case it's a jungle meta.
Yeah.
You have Kanavi. It's a really good team for any meta, so I'm actually really excited for them.
Okay, so I was also going to be JDG, but now to be different and stand out,
yeah.
I'm going to go with the most popular team in the world, T1.
Oh, how you
going for the going for the fan vote?
Good job.
How don't send trucks at me, guys. I'm a fan. But
I'm also cursing them. So.
I'm cursing them, but I also will say they get a narrative buff because I think that this team is maybe the most motivated on the international stage, given the two failures in finals last year at MSI and Worlds, the heartbreaking Worlds loss.
Oh, domestic finals too.
Yeah. Oh, they just lost the domestic finals. That was a bit of a shocker as well. So, like, I think this team's going to be a little angry, be a little pissed off, hopefully. And of course, like, they were really good for the vast majority of spring split. So it's like they have the talent to do it. So I'll just, get some fan votes.
I will say, though, I do think Gen G, like, stylistically, have a great matchup against a lot of the top. Like, if we're looking at JDG and T1, obviously just beat T1. But for JDG as well, like, a team that's slow and controlling and, like, when JDG aren't exactly the cleanest can actually do quite well there. Yeah. So I actually think it's going to be super interesting. I think especially in when we're shifting from best of ones to best of fives, I think Gen G just showed how well they prepped against T1 and how well they prepped for a lot of the playoffs. They are going to be a very difficult team to overcome. And especially if they're playing like they were in finals, I don't know if JDG and T1 have it.
Ooh, so I love that point. I think the best thing about an international event a lot of the times is the adaptation. Yeah. The teams that generally are like great on paper that have the talent that you say, oh, the ceiling's really high on them, but they tend to start really slow. Like Samsung and Galaxy White was a great example of that versus Blue. That was a team that was like really well prepped, but like technically had a ceiling. Technically Samsung Galaxy again later on Worlds. They lose to RNG. So like historically you generally see teams that are like not seed one teams, but teams that are like C2, C3 that like are recognized as really talented players, but need to get into the meta and also kind of understand how they really fit into that. So I actually think the point on T1 is valid. I think they have a lot of talented players. They proved that throughout the regular season and obviously when it came to the bracket stage and lost in the finals. Like, I think the two key positions for me, I know a lot of people would say Zeus. I'm not concerned about Zeus. I'm looking at jungle and support. Karia and Owner, I think, are exceptional talent. Obviously, Karia is like the best support in the world. But I think jungle support's the most important in a best of five series, just so you are setting up the map, you are dictating how fights start and end, and he also has like the largest champion pool, so you can impact the draft right from the get-go. So I think T1 should be that team that like goes into the finals versus JDG and stuff like that, but that's, I am supporting you and your bandwagoning.
Bold of you to call Carrie the best support in the world when you've watched Zen all split long.
Oh, so okay, all right.
That's a deep headline cut. If anyone missed it on Reddit,
that's actually true.
All right, so let's get into something a little bit more close to happening, I guess, rather than looking at the end of the tournament. Let's go back to the beginning. Start with our homerisms. GG, G2. Where do you guys want to start?
I mean, I feel like I'm out left out to dry here. We used to. It's like,
that's true. Hey, how about that draw show where you guys sniped out the easier side of the bracket? What's up with that? Huh?
Don't.
You give us with BLG on our side?
Explain yourself. Yeah. And remember, there's a window behind you. Sorry.
I was so heavily involved in the draw show. Yeah. You know, it was all my fault. If only you just picked the right ball from the right place. But yeah, I don't know. I think there might have been a reasoning behind it, but I'm not exactly sure the ins and outs of it all. But yeah, get screwed.
Life sucks, guys. I don't know what else to say.
So should we go on Golden Guardians while we'll try and pitch you? Are you worried at all, given that we have a somewhat difficult side? Golden Guardians, reference, plays GAM first, and then also on their side is then Movistar Rainbow 7 and BLG. Even if you lose on this side, you can still fight your way to try and fight one of the losers from the other side. So it's like, again, double elim here. Yeah. But Golden Guardians is a surprise for most North American fans. I don't know if internationally people even had them on their radar at all. It was not a team that was particularly hyped up through most of, even when they were having their little resurgence, it was like a, hey, good for you, Golden Guardians kind of resurgence. I don't think people expected them to get here.
Yeah, the miracle run that they had throughout playoffs, like six seed moving forward, like they were a team that a lot of people I had just completely sold into the river. It's like, this team will not make it. Like, during the regular season, it was a roller coaster ride.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was like 0-4. Okay, you guys are bad. And then, seven game win streak. Okay, you guys are great. And then starting to fall in the back end of the regular season. Like, okay, no, you guys are back to being bad. So the roller coaster of emotions was pretty, was there. But the two members that were consistently performing was River and Gory. So River and Gory were, and will still be, the core of this team. Add in who he is well, just because he's linked up to their plays pretty consistently. And also, the funny thing that I've heard and we've talked about on the broadcast was the fact that the team speaks, at least in mid-game, in Korean. And then, like, who he will be the one translating to the rest of the guys of what they're going to be doing on the map. So it's just, like, a bit of, like, sections of, like, oh, they're speaking to, amongst each other about Korean. And then who he's like, oh, yeah, so you're going about. That's what's happening. So... but it's been really good. It's been really successful. The team's been rolling. And I think their major points of success has been, like, during the regular season, they were a really stale team in draft. A lot of the times they've been basically playing tanks, top lanes, blinding no matter what. They'll be the Renekton top, Sion, like Gragas, all of that. But then in the playoffs, they started to flex just literally everything and give counterpick to Licorice. And Licorice has been performing quite well with counterpicks. And so, like, now they've suddenly been able to counterpick for Licorice, flex Tristana, both Gory and Stixxay, win through bot lane, and I think there was another flex that was there as well. So, like, they're just a really hard team to predict going into a best of series and draft against.
Yeah, Golden Guardians, I think in playoffs made me feel pretty good about them in series. The fact that they had a lot of different things that they could kind of, like, reach into if, like, plan A didn't work. They were pretty resilient too. They had some games where they would throw massive leads in game ones and then come back and win game two. So, like, I think for North American fans, you should be relatively confident about getting through play in stage. I think you're probably gonna have to do it through the last chance qualification match. It probably will be dicey. It will be a clincher. I don't think you're gonna cleanly get through BLG unless, like, Bin just, like, super runs it against Licorice somehow, and, like, because it's a best of three to qualify in, like, maybe you somehow rip off two, but most likely you're going in through the lower stage, I think.
And it's more of the story that a lot of people have started to really love Golden Guardians for, like, the resurgence of the players like Stixxay and Licorice, players that have experience, have been there before, have been to an MSI, were at the top at their roles in a, like, at one point in their career, and then fell off, and a lot of people expected their careers to end. For Licorice, they expected his career to end with FlyQuest during that catastrophe of a season. And they expected the same thing from Stixxay after leaving CLG and basically moving towards a coach. He literally retired.
I think that's the really nice one for me, because I was a big CLG fan back in the day, and watching, like, Stixxay and Aphromoo, I'm just looking, Worlds 2016 was it when he went the last time. Like, they were such a good squad.
Yeah.
And to see him back is just so nice.
And just speaking to those players, hearing from them in their interviews that they've had publicly, confidence. Like, just the injection of confidence that's come through these players, like, being when you're winning again, you're like, wait, the second guessing that you always have during plays that you lose out in winning opportunities, they're just, like, suddenly having the confidence to act on that. That was the Stixxay play that he had versus Doublelift in that series, that game five in that series. Like, he's had multiple of those throughout a playoff run.
Well, yeah, it's a team with more experience than you might initially think. Obviously, Licorice made semis for Worlds.
Yeah.
You have two players in Hughie and Stixxay who have made finals for MSI. River has been to multiple international tournaments. He's also won 3 PCS titles back when he was over there. So it's like it's a team that's actually quite veteran and probably experienced with high pressure situations. So I'm relatively confident about them. How about you on the G2 side?
I'm a bit of a mixed bag on G2 at the moment because I think they finished 4th. I mean, this is where everyone was giving stick to Mad Lions because they were like, this team is going to go to MSI. They're going to be the 4th place team. And then it's just their complete reversal. That was amazing. That was by far my favorite. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit caught at the moment. I think for Caps in particular, it was a really disappointing split for him where just randomly for one, he wasn't playing his traditional champions. It was a lot more about trying to set up Yike, right? Which I do understand if he's bringing out like Zax and Malphites and Sejuanis and all these things, right? You're not going to shine as the big star carry. But even then, when you see him on things like the Jaces, he'd just make these really weird mistakes where he'd overstay in mid lane, try and get a turret plate, and you're like, well, they just took Dragon. You know they are coming mid. There's nowhere else they're going to be going, but would often get caught. So there's a lot of weird mistakes like this that G2 are making, but when G2 are on, they look absolutely fantastic. And if, coming back to the jungle point, if we do actually end up shifting into this meta where we have like Kha'Zix and Nidalee's, like Yike back when he's on LDLC in the ERLs was essentially Kha'Zix one trick. Yeah. Like, he is really damn good in this champion. And then when you start to bring in the Nidalees and all this kind of stuff, and you already have a team that likes playing around him when he's on the Belvettes, I think that could be the big standout for G2. But it is just super difficult to try and call, because I think Broken Blade, trying to see how he's going to fit into the top side, is going to be very interesting when you do have the likes of like Bin and all these guys that are absolute monsters in the 1v1. I think there's just a lot of questions for G2, and I don't think they have answers either. I think when you look at them with their run through playoffs, it felt like they were still trying to figure out exactly what identity they wanted to play. Like, even bringing in like Nocturne for Caps in the mid lane, it felt like there was a lot of things that they were trying and not really a lot of things that they'd really solidify themselves on.
You know what I've noticed here?
What was that?
We're worried for different things. I feel like when it comes to the Golden Guardians conversation, we're worried that they're getting out of stage one.
Well, I was going to ask
him. You're not worried about that.
He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you not know about? You're like,
What I'm hearing is, I'm like,
what, they're going to lose to Loud? They're going to lose to Loud? They're going to, like, what are you saying?
Sorry, my expectations are for winning the tournament. Oh, that's probably different. Yeah.
I hate this so much.
God. What do you think about, like, I forget which team it was. I think it was Matt. I forget who said it, though. It was like, we actually think G2 is the second best team in the region. Like, we thought that was the real finals.
Yeah, it was El Yoya.
And then they also, you know, always post their scrim results, which I think is really cool. Shout out for that and saying who was dipping out on scrims. But they had a really good scrim result as well. You know, like, scrims are a little fake news, very fake news in North America, this split. Do you think there's any level of that where it's like, okay, they have like a bit of a weird split, but the team itself is still like insane.
Yeah, I still think that like when they actually look good, they look absolutely incredible, right? Yeah. Especially like if Hansam and Mickey can get control over the bot side, you see like the Draven Nautilus as it came out. I don't know how Mickey had landed half these hooks. Like, it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a huge amount where they can try and play around that stall. It's just a case of how frequently they can get it up and rolling. And that's kind of the big question, especially when you're playing against some of the top teams of the world. Like, it's a different level again.
Yeah, and it's funny because the way the LEC system works, so they already qualified for Worlds because MSI. For MSI, the script has already been released. There it is. They already qualified for MSI because of the fact that they won Winter. And so when they moved on to the Spring Split, it's like kind of a conflicting goal. Like, you're working towards MSI clearly, right? You're trying to make yourself the best presentable team going into MSI so you're ready to win a championship. So then there's a little bit of like, how much of the comps that you're running is experimental?
There's also not as much pressure.
Yeah, that too. So if you're losing, it's not much as like, no, we actually need an emergency meeting and get our shit together versus, it's not as, the red alarms are not blaring, like, we're still going to MSI, we still believe in ourselves kind of thing. So it's like, yes, you still want to win the spring championship, that's not in question. But it's more like, how pressured are you in that situation when you're already qualified?
Yeah, I do think, though, they took it fairly hard because then Caps, I don't know the exact number, but he played an absurd amount of solo queue. The day after, it was like 24 hours, he played like 20 games or so, like some ridiculous number. So I definitely think it's hard.
North American pros, like, I'm gonna grind. You play 10 games. So obviously, though, you're still feeling good about G2 getting through.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the side that, well, sorry to bring it back, but I think the side they're on does make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Where it's like, as you say, Loud, I think, looked pretty good with Brute coming in. I'm a bit sad that we're missing Brunson, to be honest, but
yeah.
He was a lot of fun. But yeah, I think with just the side of the bracket that they have, it feels inevitable that they should get through, but...
Yeah, the only question for me is whether they're going to come in first or second seed, only because I have a lot of faith in PSG right now. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get too in deep with them, but like I think PSG, just watching their games, are really clean, and I'm excited for Junjia finally getting out of EDG. He's been unleashed, so now he gets to actually perform on a team as a mainstay on the roster, and mechanically he's insane.
Yeah.
I think we should get into it a little bit, actually, then, because there's only three spots for these eight teams.
Oh, true.
So... if you're saying that G2 might lose to PSG, that means that if Golden Guardians lost to BLG, or maybe Golden Guardians beat BLG, someone's going to have to beat G2 to get in, or G2's going to knock someone else out. So, like, you know, I think the safe bet is BLG, G2 through winners, and Golden Guardians through losers, maybe against PSG or whatever. But, like, do you see an upset potential there? Do you think PSG has what it takes?
I think it's an upset. I think PSG would win. I actually am really...
You think they're better than Golden Guardians?
Yeah.
They're just better than G2 as well?
Well, no, I think G2 is going through. It might happen, but like I don't have to worry about it now. I think
PSG... I actually think the one thing for PSG title I'm not certain on is Junjia's very good at his like tanks and his like facilitating style, right?
Yeah.
But I think if we actually do start to swap over to, hey, you have to play carry junglers, that's not where Junjia likes at all. Like, I think he's got like a 33% win rate on Nidalee and all these kind of things. Like, he does not want to be the one that carries. He wants to set up the carries and do his thing and be the engager, and then he's happy out. So,
in solo queue, that was his win rate, or is it just competitive?
He's competitive.
Okay, that makes sense. Because, like, funny enough, at least from solo queue, this is dated. This is probably like back in last year or the year before. Yeah. But, like, on solo queue, he was a bit of a demon when it came to carry junglers. So I always felt like it was more of an issue of, oh, the team needs you to be on these facilitating junglers.
Which was true on EDG, definitely.
Yeah. So I think, personally, I have a lot of faith in him individually. When he's able to perform some stupid combos on Sejuani, I'm like, okay, like, this is a carry player who's being forced on the deck. So I'm quite excited for the team. And I think now that I actually have to think about the fact that there are three seeds that only get to go to the next stage, then... as much as I'm talking up Golden Guardians, yeah, I think PSG's favored here.
I was wrong, by the way. He's a 25% win rate on Kindred, but he's a 66% win rate on Nidalee.
There it is!
Over three games.
Don't tell me the numbers!
You didn't have to say that much.
So PSG, for me, they were the hands-down most boring team to watch in VOD review. Like, I think the meta concerns really exist for this team, but they also just play such a... slow way. Like, they have very talented carries. Yeah. Like, Wako is really good. Yubao, actually, some of his Tristana play was like amazing and stuff, but like, they don't do a lot. Like, you know, like you said, Junjia is running around the map trying to make sure things are stable as they scale into mid to late game. They have like the lowest combined kills per minute of any team except maybe.
I think they are just.
I think they actually are the lowest. Yeah. I think that, like, even like, there's like one team over them. Like slower in like LCK somewhere, but like they're insanely slow. They don't make plays happen. Their games take forever to close out. Their drafts are not interesting. It's not even like they're doing anything tricky. Their drafts are so straightforward.
Yeah.
Like, I worry, like, do you have other things if things are not going well? Like, do you have any other kind of play style? Because, like, okay, if you can just grind people out, great, but they weren't even like that insane in the regular season at doing that either. Even in like their win rate, I think they were 12-6 in the regular season. So like,
five losses, or I think it was like, I think it was just three losses, but
I think that's something else.
Junjia had not lost a game. Because, like, basically, Junjia, when he joined in the regular season, was lossless. And then during the playoffs, they started losing a little bit, of course.
Might be thinking of something else then.
Might be thinking of someone else. But like, for me, with
I'm definitely trolling. I think
something PSG. So like, they had a great regular season. The only other team that was like right behind was Frank.
Yeah.
And then going into the playoffs, yes, they had dropped some games. Junjia was just deathless in the final series. And yes, they were slow, but I will judge a team's ability to play, like, adapt on, okay, you guys are playing slow, but are you playing to the right side and are you respecting the enemy team? There was one time where they were getting baited topside, and I thought that Yubao did a great job at like moving. So they're not the ones pressing for something and they are scaling, but if they are getting invaded on, then they will collapse for it. Yeah. Like, those are the things that I like. The Rift Herald play was the cleanest of all of the play in teams. I think Golden Guardians are the team that I'm like, okay, that's going to be close. But I was impressed with their Riptide play. I was impressed with their team fighting. I think Wako is a really good AD carry. I already spoke up Junjia. Archer is someone that, or Azir, depending on the, like, you know, there's going to be a few ways.
I haven't checked the pronunciation guy yet. I'm actually, I don't, I tried to pull it up. Today, I tried to pull it up and I don't have access.
So it's funny. Beautiful. In the PCS, they would say Azir. So they should say Azir, but like, I would imagine in China, they would say Azir because of the inflection, how you'd say certain things. Like for instance, I would talk to Clement. It's a long thing, Amen. But I should say Azir because they call it Azir. He's a great team fighter. And so he's generally just been a tank facilitator, like top laner, Gnar and Cassante and all this stuff, right? So there's not a lot of like different play styles and not a lot of flex carries topside.
Chicken burger room back.
But he was beating the best carry player in those finals. And then of course in his team fights, he was like a reason for why they were winning a lot of team fights. So I think PSG is a clean team. Obviously, you can't really judge how they'll play internationally based off of the competition in the PCS, but I'm high on them.
That's the big question for me is just, I really like their team fighting. It's just a case of like, can they do anything besides team fighting? Because if you look, I think 40% of the games they have Drake buff.
Yeah.
And their games are like some of the longest. And it feels like it's a case of, well, we're waiting for a dragon before we fight. We don't really know what we're doing with map states in the mid to late game. Mm-hmm. And they'll just keep like, they'll shove a wave and then just group me and then shove a wave. And then we don't actually do very much with it. So I'm curious to see if they do go up against a team that like, you end up taking that slow, if they can find ways to come back into it and maybe they can collapse on the side or whatever. It's just, I'm curious to see what happens when they do play against a team that's better at playing on the map.
Yeah, and in terms of the map stuff, like they got a couple of Barons snuck against them in their playoffs run. Like there were some things like that, picks after Baron. It just didn't seem super clean to me. And it felt like, okay, you're better than most of the people in your region and you can just like slow roll them like TSM used to do like 6 years ago. And it's like, that was not a particularly impressive play style that translated well. So like, that's kind of my concern. I think we'll see how much of this is a legitimate concern in their series versus DFM, because DFM is like the polar opposite in a lot of ways, where they're like crazy draft picks, super aggressive. They were taking inhibitor turrets and inhibitors pre-20 minutes in their final series. They're busting out Blitzcrank, like Harp's crazy. Yeah. So like, I feel like this will be a great test for PSG to be like, can you make this work kind of more globally? Not like DFM or like world beaters or anything, but like we've seen them put up decent the show. Benchmark. They're like, for a minor region team, they're one of the best. And so like, it'll show if PSG can kind of grind people out here.
Yeah.
That's who they play first. That's why I brought up DFM.
Yeah. That's a good point. So I'm interested. I think whenever it comes to teams that are really like singular in how they play the game, they're not really dynamic in a lot of ways. It's like, okay, how good are you at that?
Yeah.
PSG is a really good team fighting team. And their setup around objectives is really clean. There's a few plays that I noticed where it's like, okay, they had their line of scrimmage set up around Drake and LeBlanc was trying to get some poke down, like enemy LeBlanc.
Yeah.
So it just pops her head over the wall once and it was instantly, Sidwani ulti, come out, kill her. I was like, oh shit, that would not happen in North America. I'm sorry. Like, that LeBlanc would get some chunk off and would back away. No one would be ready for that. So I do think their ability, like their individual skill in fighting is great. But I think the points on how they play the map is very fair.
Cool. So we'll see. I guess that's what we feel like is the spot for the last one, maybe, between Golden Guardians and them. Is there another team that jumps out at you as a potential option? Loud, Movistar, GAM. I don't know.
GAM is a tough one because we kind of opened the floor up with like, oh, Golden Guardians versus GAM. And at first I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Golden Guardians get past this group. But then I forgot about it. Even if they do get past this group, like what's going to happen in the last chance qualifiers? No, GAM's a really crazy team. I mean, we say this every time. It's like, I'm actually surprised that I'm surprised every time I watch their games, and I'm like, there's always a fight. There's always a fight. It's not really like clean. It's like, oh, this guy made a mistake. He overstayed this mid lane and now Levi's just killed him. or it's actually now because of that, they know where the jungler is. The enemy jungler has now killed the enemy, like somebody on the bot side of the map. And it's like always action. It's not clean, but they're another example of very basically with PSG of like, they're still a really talented team fighting team and they will defend or take every fight. So it's like, even if it doesn't work for them, and it didn't kind of work for them in the finals where they lost the game because when they were behind, they just defended and took the next fight instead of playing this opposite side of the map. So that's a concern with me with GAM. But honestly, most of the time when we go into international events, teams will just take fights anyways and then lose those fights. So I think there's a chance of this going the distance, Golden Guardians and GAM, like game three. And of course, no matter what, BLG is going to win whoever wins that series. So we're going to see another
battle. Don't count Bong versus Bing. That
that's what I'm just saying. We're getting a long Golden Guardians versus GAM series, guys.
I do think, though, for GAM, I think the format change is super interesting for this team specifically. Because, like, what I really like about GAM is they just bring out all these weird and wacky picks. Like, we saw that was an MSI last year, wasn't it? They brought it, like, Zach Mid and everything like that against G2.
That was Saigon.
Yeah,
that
was Saigon.
Same region.
BCS always has the weird.
And, like, even looking at the champion picks here, you got, like, Zillion Mid, they're playing Ziggs bot. They've got, like, the Nocturne in the jungle and all that. So, like, they're willing to rumble as well. They're willing to bring out weird, wacky picks. And I think that works very well in a best of one format where you can surprise someone with a pick.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that then calculates over the course of a best of three. If it's like, oh, well, maybe this is now going to make a difference.
Well, last year when they went up against Top Esports and Top Esports had a really bad draft, like, in comparative to what GAM had completely won the draft. And that Karthus pick was actually the most devastating thing. I'm going to watch that back and then have nightmares, basically. So, yes, they're a team that is really aware of if they're favored or not favored versus a team, and then mix it up, like you said. So I think they will surprise us in some way, shape, or form, and it's just dependent on Golden Guardians within the draft being flexible enough and then playing, basically just playing smart across the map. Like, that just comes down to discipline. And it's going to be tough in your first tournament when you're not aware of who you're going up against at all. Like, you know you're going up against GAM, but you never played against them. These players generally view the game being strictly played in one way, and then you get punched in the mouth.
Well, they're always a team that's like cheating tempo. So, like, if you're like, oh, well, they can't do this because this wave is here. Like, no.
No, they'll do it.
We were in your jungle for 3 minutes. Levi's crazy, of course. I'm really excited to see him back with GAM. Given that he's kind of like the guy who launched the VCS into kind of international recognition way back in the day, 2017, beating TSM, bit of a grudge match, NA versus Levi, maybe. I don't know. I don't think history will repeat itself, though. I'm pretty confident in Golden Guardians. Any other first round series that you guys want to hit on? We touched on PSG DFM a little bit. We could go harder on that. Loud versus G2, I think, deserves a little bit of conversation.
Yeah, I think it's gonna. That's one that's gonna be incredibly interesting. I think Loud as well. Like, as I said already, I think I'm a bit sad that they got rid of Brunson. Yeah. I thought Brunson was a lot of fun. I even, like, playing up against Fnatic last year as well, they end up having those massive upsets against Fnatic, where, like, they're actually able to take the game off of EU. They forced that big, weird tiebreaker as well at Worlds. Like, it was a lot of fun, but I think the fact they've got Root playing as well as he is as well is going to help out. The fact that they're able to fall back to this guy so consistently is going to be a massive one for them. And then again, if you're able to just control the bot lane against G2, where you're playing against Mickey and Hans in the way that Loud like to, I think that could cause a bit of an issue for them.
Yeah. I think Broken Blade will have a very good series. Because...
You have faith in Robo?
It's not so much Robo as a player. It's the choices that he makes in the game. This man is not a laner. He leaves that lane and he just lets those minions die. He is... Like, I will be watching these games and I'm like... Wait, we're full grouping for this Drake? It's our first Drake.
There's a level 5 Malphite running down the river.
Like, this is kind of wild. Like, this should not be allowed. Like, it's more valuable to give this Drake up and play for turrets, but he's not doing that. Another example would be, it was like a definitive game in the series. I think it was versus Pain, where he just, like, after he got first pushed down as Jax versus Gnar, he just left. He left top. He, like, invaded initially, saw no one there, saw the enemy jungle go mid, so he went mid. And then, like, the play kind of worked out, not really, he didn't get a kill, so he then went deeper into the enemy jungle to find Sejuani on wolves. I'm like, dude, Gnar is pushing top lane, you are losing minions, and you're not getting a kill. it seems like this happens a lot in CBLOL historically, but, like, it's present in these games too, where it's like, they are looking for plays. They want a team fight. They believe in their ability to team fight. That's what got them there. But when the team is not willing to fight them and match them on a Drake, they're like, oh, did we just lose gold on the map? Broken Blade, who's on another carry top lane, is now going to get ahead. And they're going to play through Broken Blade. In my opinion, they should in this series. So I'm worried for Loud only because I think this is a bad matchup for them. Unless if their scrims are learning to play a little bit more respectfully.
Here's the Brazil hoping angle, though.
I'm ready for this.
European tops suck. I got a memo about that from Reddit about how you're yeah.
I mean, comparatively to LPL and LCK, yeah, it's not great.
Well, relative to Brazil, you think going to give you...
You can just say no to this one. No.
Okay, because that's so hard to be nice. Yeah.
No, I was gonna say because like Robo sometimes he busts out the Olaf. He also plays a lot of Jax. Like he does play some of the carries, and Tinones is more like supportive in some ways. Like Talia's his most played champion. Yeah. I think Croc is very happy to camp lanes and stuff like that. So like, there's times where Robo he does roam a lot, but I don't want to make it sound like that's all he does. There's games where he just like dives turret relentlessly against his opponent when he gets elites. Like. There's a world in a best of three, or I don't know if it exists or not, where like Broken Blade is not playing well, and like there's a counter pick that's good for Robo, and maybe he does something, but like I wouldn't bet on it. But maybe that's an angle.
Yeah, I think it's just because there's always, ever since Kaboom, there's always been that chance with CBLOL to just do it and just like complete the upset. And even like Worlds the same with Fnatic, you saw it as well. You just can never ever count out CBLOL because there's always just that chance they're going to come in absolutely swinging. Yeah. Now, I think, this is also a very different style that we're seeing from CBLOL though, because when you look back in the day, it was a hyper aggressive, like you'd have BRTT's Draven just trying to run you down all the time. Whereas when you look at these guys, they're like third slowest in the league. Mm-hmm. Like they don't play anywhere near as fast as you'd expect traditionally from what we've seen from the Brazilians on the main stage. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they do match up, but I do agree. I think Robo, with the way he plays, is actually, well, nerdy kind of similar to Adam in a way that we had with BDS.
Oh, yeah.
Now, these two never faced, like G2 and BDS never faced off in the best of, but it does kind of remind me of him Adam to a certain extent, where it is that kind of, hey, I'm just going to drop a wave, roam, and then make a play elsewhere. So it worked for a while in EU. I mean, it could work out here against EU as well.
Yeah, maybe. I also think Rout was quite good in the scaling champions. Like one of the reasons they're slow is because like we're waiting for him to pop off and get the three items on Aphelios and Zarya and stuff. Yeah. So Loud probably not going to make it happen. Other first round matchups. BLG versus Rainbow Seven, Movistar Rainbow Seven. I guess we can just gas up BLG for people who haven't been watching as the LPL EU combo rep. I'm only in it. What is the rest of the world? I'm an American here. Like,
and I am super hyped for BLG. Bin is an absolute beast. I mean, the guy, first ever pentakill in World Finals on the Fiora, obviously from years ago. He's just insane in the top side as well. Like, he's like solo killing 369 in their series. He's looking absolutely incredible. Like, consistently beating the guy that we were all talking about as the best top player in the world last year. And I think as well, Yago, I actually expected Yago to massively fail coming into this team because he's just come out of JDG and it was like, he's always been, at least in my eyes, a consistently an A to A plus player, but it's very, very rare you get the S to S plus moments out of him. Yeah. And like there's one in 2020 when he's on Lucian that stands out to me, but like, and then maybe every so often you have a Zoe game because that was his old main, but like there weren't these big ones. The exception
that proves the rule that you can remember two.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, right? Yeah. So I think that's where when I look at Yago, I was like, this guy isn't going to do so hot, but it feels like he's really found his footing, especially with Shun in the jungle, because he wants to play the Veigars, he wants to play the Galios and kind of be that supportive player for Shun.
That's the thing about Yagao, that he, even domestically, always kind of under-respected as a player. When he first came in 2018 alongside Knight, people just expected, I myself included, would be like, yep, Knight's the next great, right? You have a league of Doom B, Rookie, like some of the best mids in the world. You add Knight. And Yagao was always the person who's there, who played well. He had great games, like his Jace, Zoe, and like you mentioned a few of those, like his Galios and stuff like that. And then he would just be on teams that were still winning. And I always felt like I came to respect him as a glue for his team.
Yeah.
Like he recognized what were the maps, kind of a little bit like, I'm blanking on the name right now. But it's like the same idea with the Mad Lion situation. Their mid-jungle situation, like with Niski, where it's like, he will always be under-respected because he is playing for what is the winning part of the map. He's playing for his jungler. He's playing for the side lanes, and they are winning games off of that. He has a winning mentality, and that's something that it took me some time to really like value.
Yeah, people like him, I really appreciate his play style, and I'm glad he actually made it back after like people crapped on him at Worlds for the performance that he had. Mm-hmm. and like kind of justifiably so, but like what always goes too far is like not just crapping on him for that tournament, but then like retroactively going back and be like, yeah. No, he's not that good. He was never that good for all the reasons you guys kind of were talking about, that he's like not this standout player. But players like this do so much to help your team that you just don't see and appreciate.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that stands out about Nisky that makes him like kind of, he's done it on a bunch of teams.
Yes.
Because you can't just be like, oh, well, it's because he's playing with these other guys. Like, he was, like, Yagao was hooked up with Kanavi, and everyone, I think, you know, kind of just, like, painted them as this duo in their head.
Yeah.
Whereas Nisky's now done it with a bunch of different teammates and stuff, and I think that that's kind of allowed him to get his own name as this kind of, like, team first play style. But there's a lot of mid laners over the course of, like, the history of League of Legends who just, like, didn't get their due because they didn't play like the Zeds and like the crazy 1v9 stuff. And I think it's cool that he's back on the international stage again.
I think as well, there's also like, you're in a league with Doomby who just takes that and just knocks it up to like 10. Yeah. So you're like, when you want someone who's got to like, oh, I roam and I play for the team, like you immediately go to Doomby. You don't think of Yagao. It's
just like... But he's so, like, well, I'm not going to play Malphite and Nautilus mid, but I'm still going to roam, guys. Like,
guys, I'm not an extremist here. Calm down.
Like, I'll play Taliyah and do it. Like,
And I think that is why to a certain extent, but I think he's such a perfect fit for a guy like Shun, because Shun came in, was IG originally with like the Shy and Rookie, and he looked reasonably okay, but it was also a case of like, he was a carry jungler that if you're on IG, you got to play for the lanes. Like, that's just not going to happen any other way. So I think he kind of got brushed aside a little bit, and it's nice to see, especially as he's starting to come back and he's aimed to bring out like the Kindred, that's a permaban for him. Like, that has been a big thing when you look towards playoffs, and having Yaga there to kind of help support him in that way. I still think he's still got a lot to learn. Like, he can be a bit coin flippy at times.
Yeah.
And then speaking of coin flippy, like, I cannot believe how good Elk is. Like, when I, because when I looked at 2020, he used to be called Jomung. We used to call it Jomung Madness, which was just like randomly he would int the lane, like for no reason whatsoever. And we talk about Morgan, who used to be his top laner on WE.
Yes.
And we're like, Morgan couldn't TB back to lane because he had to keep it for when Jomung tried to int bot lane. He was like, I have got to go down 20 CS because I know I need this TP at some stage to save our bot lane and save the game. Like, that's how weird and wacky it was down there. But the fact that Elk has just stepped up to be absolutely incredible, like this area in particular he's looked splendid on, it's crazy to me that suddenly he's gone from someone who can be so back and forth to actually consistently putting out these great plays. And I think that's why they're looking so good at the moment, is because Elk has just had this massive step up. And then On as well was also someone that was quite back and forth in the Suning days as well.
Yeah.
Like, there was obviously the jokes on off. But he would like, mechanically he was always very, very good, but it was just about trying to get the right read on when he should try and make these plays that was a bit iffy. But it just feels like for BLG there's been a lot of step ups, but also just kind of people getting the respect that they're going to do at this stage.
Yeah, it's funny, when On first came on, it was always like, oh, you're directly comparing him to Sword Art.
Yeah,
directly, because like that's who he came in for when just Sword Art left as well. Exactly. So like a lot of these comparisons were made. And then it only felt like this split or this year where you're like coming to respect how he plays the game so much more. So I'm excited for what BLG is going to do in the tournament, going on in the tournament. I think what you said earlier about them being like a Dark Knight is very true, because everyone's going to talk about all the other LPL and LCK teams. And then it feels like you're just saying, because even BLG weren't expected to be here. They expected EDG. But they're a team that for sure were on this much more on the same page, had more explosive players, and On, I think, was just a great engaged support. So,
and again, just Bane is so damn good.
He's probably the most deserving of conversation, but he always gets it, you know? Yeah. It's like, yeah.
But I think that's like, especially when I look towards, I think Zayas is an incredibly strong top laner, but he has fumbled in a lot of the finals that have come up, right? And even when you look at the most recent finals, sticking him back on Sion duty instead of putting who's supposed to be this incredible carry top laner onto a Jace or something, you can kind of tell they weren't most comfortable in him either. So I think if you're in a situation where Bane has already manhandled 369 to a certain extent, and then if Zayas isn't showing up, well then and Doran did a much better job in playoffs, but also not the strongest.
Right.
I actually think there is a world where, with no real nerfs to the champions that Bin wants to play, he can still just pop the hell off. And I think that's a lot of what makes BLG so threatening, is that Yagao on this kind of roaming style can play for both the side lanes and have these both just pop the hell off at any point in time.
Yeah. Plus they'll be getting extra game time on 13.8 against relatively weaker opponents that you think they'll find their mojo on a little bit, you know. Very interesting stuff. Guns to our heads, we're all saying we're all saying Golden Guardians make it through, right?
Right?
We're all saying
BLG second seed.
Golden Guardians, Licorice Manhandles Ben, you know, then we go and BLG has a hard fought battle versus PSG, like you were saying.
That's why Licorice didn't show any of his carry performers until he, you know, got to the end of playoffs because he was saving them from me.
Yeah.
Smart.
But yeah, I think, do you guys have any upsets that you want to predict for the playing stage?
The only one I have is actually PSG, now that I think about that qualifying match. So that's the big one. Everything else seems like it makes sense. I think people will always be surprised at how volatile best of threes can get. Because if you take the first game, then you're just one game away.
Yeah, so, you cheese them once, something bad goes in game two, it's over.
Yeah.
If you guys are down, I kind of want to move on to the main one, though. Because I actually have a genuine question for you on this like upset thing. How confident are you guys in Cloud9? Because when I watch this team, I think M&S is an absolute beast.
Yes.
And then sometimes I just look at him and he W's in on the block into an Ari and I'm like, God, what are you doing? But I think in general, he's very, very good. I think he can match up against a lot of the guys. And Cloud9 genuinely looked pretty damn clean. Like, this is probably the strongest, I think, a team coming out of North America has looked in a while. I think they look really good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mark?
So I said something similar about like, I think this is one of the better teams we've sent in a long time, but I also to have said that before and like I still believe it was true, but it doesn't mean that like we're gonna win best of five suddenly against Korea or LPL, you know, like, so I hope people don't think that's being two-faced when you say like they're really good, they're a really good North American team.
Yeah,
that still means that they're gonna have to punch above their weight class to actually win, because this is best of fives now. This isn't like you pull off a couple best of one upsets and suddenly you're like in an easier bracket stage now. The way, like, no offense to sometimes that teams have made good runs and then lost in finals from other regions, you know, like we did it in 2016 a little bit where it was Flash Wolves that we had to beat to make finals, you know, like it can happen where a good best of one stage sets you up for a really nice tournament. That doesn't exist anymore. You can't like be hot, have a good meta read and like then win a full series. So like I think in that sense, you know, like if Cloud9 can win a best of five against an Eastern team, that's amazing. Even if they don't win the tournament, obviously. And even just beating MAD and stuff like that, which I think is very doable, like, that would be a win for me. Like, I'm a North American fan. I'm not, like, chasing the crown right now. I just want to have a good tournament. That defines a good tournament to me. Yeah. And I think this team is good enough to do some of those. They could pull off an upset. I wouldn't bet on it, but they could. Will they run the whole bracket off upsets? No, that's where it's a long tournament for that.
This is a crazy season where I agree with you. I think this is one of the best teams we're sending, if not the best team. And just because, like, we said that for Worlds last year with how dominant C9 was.
And then they got Group of Death, kind of.
They got, that. And also they had a really wrong read on the meta as well. So, like, they just started off just getting swung at. So, this time around, I think, like, I have a faith, like, just from hearing from the players about, like, their takeaways from Worlds and how they don't want that to ever happen again. And I look at Fudge, best top player in the league, who's by quite a bit. Blabber. Same there. M&S would have gotten first team all pro if he played throughout the full season. Like, that top side of the map is incredible, and we're not even talking about Berserker and Sven. So that team individually really good. So the question a lot of the time is, yes, we think this is the best team. I just want to see how they do versus a Gen G, JDG, T1. Like, I'm expecting a loss. How bad is the loss? Because that just means that I'm more demoralized. Or I'm pretty happy about the future.
You're happy with a 2-3 loss, like a WE type series?
Oh, that sounds great to me. Yeah. Like that, I'm sleeping good. If I lose 3-2, sure, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat, like crying, pissing, vomiting, everything at the same time. Please win this series! And then if we lose, there's obviously 10 minutes grace period of being depressed. And then past that, being like, you know what? That was the best thing I've seen.
Better than depression from, you know, First Blood game one. You
yes. Know? Yes. So the range of emotions will be there. But consistently, I'll land back to if we lose 3-2. Or even if we just have a competitive 3-1 loss. Like, if it actually feels like, oh, we were in there all of these games and just a small bit of adjustment can make the difference, I'm happy. Yeah. So that's how I come out of it.
Yeah, they have a lot of threats across the board. Mm-hmm. They have been good about metas. It's obviously, I don't think like a Nidalee Kha'Zix type meta is really Blavers bread and butter. He's a little bit more farm oriented, I think, than some of those. But like,
and also I'm very skeptical of Nidalee Kha'Zix being the meta. No matter, like, if they buff them to a large degree, great. I know Kha'Zix received quite a few buffs. Yeah. Same with Nidalee. But it always comes down to, oh, well, I mean, as long as you can protect your jungler.
Yeah, I just see a lot of people spamming in a solo queue, which is why I'm like,
Yes.
Yeah.
So, once again, I agree with you, though. But I'm really excited for this team. There's always the Jace incident that everyone will remember from MNS. Like, that will just come out there where he's like, okay, he had a
record-setting day.
Yeah. One day, guys. But past that, this makes for a really exciting team. So, I'm excited. Good question. Love that. What about you? What do you think?
I don't, like, that's why I wanted to try and figure out, because I'm like, I'm super excited to see more of MNS, because even like before he made it to LCS, like I don't know if you guys were the same. You'd go on to Game of Legends and then you just see like this guy who's got like, everyone else is like 650 damage per minute for mid lane, and then he's like 802 on his average. You're like, oh yeah, well, he's only played like two games. Sure, and you click in, it's like 35 games. And you're like, he's like
Everest. 50 solo kill.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, okay, this guy's actually kind of legit. So it's nice to see that he's found a home, and he kind of gets to see part of that, the ups and the downs.
Let me give you the doomer angle then, because we've been good. He's volatile. So like, he's very volatile. So when things are going well, he will smurf his opponent. When things are going poorly, he will still try and smurf on his opponent, and he'll die 10 times like on the Jace game.
True.
Like, that's just kind of the player he is, and like, you know, the pool is just going to go up around him.
Yeah.
him and Blaber don't have like insane synergy together. Like, they do play well, but Sven had some troubles in playoffs, in the finals a little bit.
Yeah.
I do think there's like cracks in this team that like you could see like in a carry lane getting exploited, or against like a Faker getting, or like whoever, you know, like some of these like night, it can all happen. So like, there are these weaknesses. We saw Fudge, despite being the best North American top laner, last split as well. We said the exact same things. You put him up in the international competition, and he couldn't play the same champions the same way. So all those concerns still exist.
I saw your smirk, and I'm waiting.
The description that you were giving to MNS reminded me of a question and interest that I had about another player. As Yamato would say, what about Hilly Baba though? What about Hassan? Like this Mad Lions team, I was the same, where I was at first being like, guys, if they win a series, lose in the finals, go to like MSI, that sucks. But then they just started destroying people, and a lot of it was off of Hilly Pike, man. And also just the team playing around it. So like, actually a question for you, just to turn it on you a little bit about Mad Lions. Like, what's your thoughts on the team so far? Because Hillsong is playing insanely well. And then Chasey is a top laner that I've always been really interested in, because he plays carry types, but he seems like on and off. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think there was kind of a bit of a perfect storm for Mad Lions as well coming into playoffs. Like, not to put them down, I think they had a phenomenal time. And I do think a lot of that was obviously Hilly stepping up. But just funny story. Someone wrote to me on Twitter one of the days and was like, oh, yeah, you can tell that Dagda's new because he's still surprised when Hilly ends. So it's like, because in the run-up to playoffs, it was not looking good. You'd have him like wandering through River Nautilus, getting caught out and stuff like that. But I think there was a massive step up pretty much across the board coming into towards playoffs. Nisqy, I think, was one of the guys who figured out Gragas, and is a phenomenal Gragas player, a lot which helped out. And I think it made these kind of things made it very difficult to draft against them, because you didn't want to give them things like the Gragas. You're still worried about some of the big pair of picks on the patch, like the Annie. You don't want to give Karzai Jinx, because he's happy to just ultra scale into the late game on it. So I think that was, and then you've obviously got some of these cool picks like the Pike coming through for Hilly that just made it very difficult. And even they just kind of went back to, we're going to make sure that Hilly's comfortable. We're not going to go for any of the Lulus or anything like that. We're like, we're going to play Rels with Zeri. We're going to go for things where he can engage and he can be the big playmaker.
Yeah.
And I think that just made Hilly feel way more comfortable. And then looking towards their mid jungle, I think we got to actually see Nisqy and Elyoya working better together. Because even in game one, I want to say, of their first round of playoffs, I think it was, they had like Lissandra Vi, and you never saw the two of them interact at any point in time. And it's like, you literally have some of the easiest setup in the world. Like, you just go in and you kill them. But there was just none of that. But as it went on, we got to see it kind of clean up and looking so much better. From Chasey's perspective, in the beginning, Jace would still, if you're playing him Jace or something like that, he would still get these early leads. It was actually funny enough, you mentioned Yamato, a conversation we had in the green room with Yamato, where he's like, I don't feel like you need to ban Chase's Jace, Because even if he gets these leads, he never is the one that makes the game or breaks the game. And even you get picks like the Fiora and you get these leads, but Mad Lions wouldn't really know how to play around him on the map and they'd still default to team fights and wouldn't look that hot.
Yeah.
But whatever the hell Chase hit that day, I have no idea. Because that finals, he popped the hell up. And it was so good to see because especially you're new to the LEC, you're playing on this roster for the first time and you're in the last couple of games of finals and he's able to step up and go, no, I can actually carry this on a Cassante, on a Jace, and really be that threat. So it actually filled me with a lot of confidence now going into MSI that like Chasey can match up and play these carry top laners, but also be a carry when he does get into that position.
It's funny. It feels like it's a consistent thing with top laners, like carry top laners that are imports, where they're obviously English is going to be something that's a little weaker for them. So then when you have a lead, you want to be the most vocal. You want to let your team know how like how to play around you, what timing is best to work around your jungler. But a lot of the times if you have like a stronger voice on your team or like if you don't know how to necessarily say what you want, I'm just assuming maybe too much on that front. But I know just generally speaking, like the stronger voices ultimately dictate how the game flows. And of course, the fact that he's new, that's another thing too that comes into it where people don't necessarily feel comfortable just overriding call and say, guys, come top lane permanently, dive a minute 3, 5, 7, like come. Or like, hey, I'm playing, it's better to play off of my top side other than what my dual lane, who is probably crying and saying, guys, like the game, we're getting destroyed here, I can't move. So like knowing how to play around a carry top laner that isn't necessarily comfortable in those environments is always going to be difficult. But like Chasey is somebody that for me can be that main difference maker. We talk about a lot of like great top laners coming into this tournament, and Chasey I feel like can match them. And it's more about like how you basically convert your lead a lot of the times that I'm interested in. So that's a great conversation. And I'm interested to see if Mad Lions develop to be more than just like, oh, Hilly is at it. and same with the mid jungle. And if Chasey starts to really be able to like elevate in mid to late games, that's a damn good team.
Yeah, they damn good enough to pick up some wins in the bracket stage. I said for C9, I am skeptical. It's possible, but skeptical. Unless we're talking about like inner region between EU and NA.
Yeah.
Or maybe coming someone else if they show up. If like a PSG showed up through the playing stage. Where do you think about Mad and G2, you're pretty confident it's making it through. So like in bracket stage of the main portion, what are you thinking is a reasonable expectation for EU fans?
I think it's fairly similar, obviously, to Cloud9. Like I think it's a case of you're going up against the big boys. Like Gen G are no pushovers. The fact they play such a slow game as well, they're very calculated. It makes it very difficult where if you make a mistake, they're going to pounce on you in a second.
Yeah.
Whereas it's obviously the complete flip, I feel like, with JDG and T1, which is, we're just going to, you know, go in all guns blazing and test you and can you try and match up. Now, I think maybe for Mad Lions, you can get some opportunities to pull it back, because I think personally for like T1, I don't think their objective setup is particularly good. And I think that could be where they fumble and you end up in a best of five, putting the game back that you shouldn't have. Maybe that can be a difference maker. And I think that goes for both Mad Cloud9, everyone. But I think it's just so hard to look at a best of five and go, yeah, I can see Chasey getting the better of 3-6-9 over the course of a 5-game series, and that like that's where I start to go, can it really work out?
Yeah, for me right now, my gut tells me it's an 0-3 to all of the teams we've mentioned in JDG, Gen G, T1. Like I don't see, the same goes with Cloud9. Mm-hmm. I think that would just turn into an 0-3. The only angle I would give Mad Lions is Hilly's ability to play through pikes, be a lot more insane, and just change things up. We saw that last international event, and we always kind of get surprised when it happens. This time around, we shouldn't be surprised. We know what Hilly plays. We know how they got to their position in finals. Like, this is who they are. But I think it will still, like, it may not shock us.
Yeah.
But if they go up against the T1 and Guma's getting, once again, ran down, not by Shogun, by Hilly and Karzi, like, hey, we warned you. Like, that was out there. That information was available. No one gave it to you or you didn't remember it.
All right. Still sounds like a bleak picture that's generally being painted versus those teams. So let's do something more fun. EU versus NA. Not even just directly, but across the tournament. Who wins more games? EU. Who has the better record? EU?
Yeah.
Didn't NA have a better one?
Look, I'm the new guy. I can't be against the team.
No one's watching. No one's watching. Yeah, you're the EU guy, but like,
he's going to be homeless in summer.
I've been on the Euphoria twice, and they both just like throw me under the bus immediately as they got there. And look, I'm not having it happen again.
Mad Lions and Play-Ins, last Worlds, they got beat by EG. Gave NA a better record. I believe it was a better record for the Worlds, if I'm not mistaken, for like game score across. All levels of play, which is like obviously a fudge stat, but I'm going to ride it because I need to. And I'm going to do it again here. I think NA could actually have a better tournament than EU.
So
G2 are cowards and drew an easy bracket. So maybe they'll get like a little boost.
So there's
there.
One win.
There's maybe like no losses in play-ins there for them, maybe that way. But yeah, I do think it's actually possible for NA this year, like to grab a little bit of regional pride back from EU. I feel like we've been on the cusp. Yeah. For like the last couple tournaments where it's like slightly better performances by EU. They'll get like one team through into group stage and then, or into bracket stage and get slammed. It wasn't that competitive, but it's like, oh, they keep getting just slightly further than us. I feel like this could be the year.
I think Z9 would tournament. Have to hard carry. Because I already said it earlier on, I think PSG's pride is going to knock Golden Guardians out.
Do you really think PSG's going to knock Golden Guardians out?
That's just me saying it, putting it out into the ether. I'm a little bit afraid, okay?
Rez,
yes?
Golden Guardians play PSG and win, you're swimming home.
Okay, that's fair. Look, I'll get my swim trunks.
You didn't believe in Golden Guardians. Where's the FU hat? The FU booty for you to swim across the ocean.
Right through the Atlantic. I don't know how long that'll take, but I'm ready. I'm willing to do it because I literally lied. I said that I would never, like I would always believe in Golden Guardians. After I didn't believe in them throughout their entire run, got to the final finals weekend, said I believed in them. And I was like, I will never doubt them again. And now I'm looking at this international event.
2 weeks later, SpongeBob.
I'm now back to doubting them versus PSG. So it's happening. Look, what can I say? They'll beat GAM. I think they'll beat GAM.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you?
You're saying it like it's like, oh, guys, I'm giving them a bone. Yeah. Well, maybe they'll beat GAM. I'm saying that we're gonna do better than the EU. Straight up.
Your truth.
I will say, I actually think if it is a good day for MNS and it's like Cloud9 versus the teams, I think Niski is gonna be okay. But like Caps hasn't had a good split, and I definitely think if you can punish Caps, you can punish a lot of what G2 want to do.
Yeah.
And that's where I like I could actually see something where you could bring it back.
So then you're on my side. NA over EU. I'd be willing to put a bet down, but because I'm delirious, I can't think of one right now. But if there's a bet that we'll tweet out later, who has better betting on games?
Do you know what's way more interesting?
Okay, give me a bet.
We make horrible bets. But it's all in the guys for next week. So they're the ones who actually
Oh, we pass
it
on.
We just pass it
on. So whoever sits in the far right side has bet that NA will have a better win rate than EU in this tournament.
Yeah. And no then we what. Get to, we can just come up
I
with
wonder if he's like, watch an EU person sit in this chair. It would be a punishment if they didn't watch this episode.
You don't even have to make the bet. In the comment section, you guys give out ideas of what that bet's going to be. And then it's going to be the next batch of talent on this desk that has to act it out. Right. I like this.
Yeah.
This is coward. This is a group draw.
I mean, I'll do it. Dag is on the other side of it.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I think we end on that. I think that's good. I think we'll have to come up. Well, at least figure out what the best one is from the comment section. I'm just gonna let them run it. But
yes.
Yeah, well, look, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure, It's nice to actually get through. We're glad you guys survived the entire way through. Yes. I thought you were going
to
die.
I'm wired, dude. I'm ready to go another hour. Let's go. What else we got to talk about?
That is going
to
doze off there for at some point. No, what happening?
But look, thank you very much for joining us all. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to chat to the lads. I don't think I've actually done a dive for you guys before, but make sure you're tuning in for MSI that kicks off on Tuesday, because, of course, we're in London, so we have to say
it's Tuesday. It's
Tuesday. At 1 p.m., we'll be kicking off with PSG versus DFM. It's going to be an absolute banger. We'll find out if Raz is actually going to be correct about PSG talent. And make sure you tune in, because it'll be an exciting stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Comment and subscribe.
But only on this one, not the next one.
Not the next one.